the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. A lot on our plate today. Let's jump right in. The U.S. House will vote today on the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. It essentially bans transgender athletes from competing in female sports. Congressman Brian Mills says when biological boys are allowed to play against girls,
it's cheating. This is why we love sports so much, is because of the fairness element of it. It's why we don't allow deflated footballs, or why we don't allow corked bats or Vaseline on a baseball, or the list goes on and on. It's why we have referees and umpires and line judges, because we want it to be fair. And if we're going to allow men into women's sports, why have any laws or rules about doping or steroids whatsoever?
Mills adds that transgender athletes in girls' sports undermines Title IX, which was passed a half century ago to allow women more opportunities. SpaceX today launched the most powerful rocket ever built, but it didn't get far. The Starship prototype exploded 4 minutes into flight in the skies over Texas. That ship was supposed to complete one full lap around the Earth and re-enter the atmosphere near Hawaii. Despite today's test failure, SpaceX founder Elon Musk says he was pleased with the results. A potential bombshell in the federal probe into President Biden's son Hunter. An IRS whistleblower has come forward claiming White House interference in that investigation. The whistleblower's attorney, Mark Lytle.
To him, the truth is one truth, and he wants to come forward with it.
The man leading the probe into the Biden family business dealings is Kentucky Congressman James Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee.
It all points back to Joe Biden, and we're going to continue until we get the truth to the American people. But I can say that the walls are closing in on the Biden family.
Comer accuses the White House of obstructing justice and blocking efforts to charge Hunter with tax crimes. 15 tornadoes touched down last night in Tornado Alley, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Iowa.
I think we got a tornado right there.
There's a tornado.
I can hear it. It's a large tornado.
A lot of damage sustained in the tiny town of Cole, Oklahoma. Population, just 600.
This is really the worst storm that this town has ever seen.
Storm tracker Cal Vaster.
You're seeing sheet metal wrapped around poles and signs and trees. You're also seeing trees down, parts of a roof off.
Mike Brown is with KWTV in Oklahoma City.
I've seen multiple cars tumbled. Of course, all the power lines are snapped. The McDonald's sign is just twisted, so you can tell what the winds were like. So there is an armada of emergency vehicles here.
Two deaths are blamed on the twisters. A stampede at a school in Yemen today claimed at least 78 lives. It happened during a Ramadan-related food giveaway. Two merchants who organized the charity event have been arrested. Now to the border. Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas had this to say about the border to Congress.
It is my testimony that the border is secure, and we are working every day, day and night, to increase its security.
Republicans accuse him of lying under oath.
It's stunning that you could sit there and smugly grin as if you've not miserably failed your country.
Former acting ICE Director Tom Homan.
He has no integrity. I've never seen a cabinet official lie under oath in front of Congress, lie to American people every day.
Senate Republicans plan to launch a no-confidence vote today in Mayorkas with the hopes that the House would soon begin impeachment proceedings. U.S. tax dollars may be going to prop up the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's the word from the Inspector General for Afghanistan.
I cannot assure this committee or the American taxpayer we are not currently funding the Taliban. Nor can I assure you that the Taliban are not diverting the money we are sending from the intended recipients, which are the poor Afghan people.
Democrats blame former President Trump for that.
In the Trump-Taliban agreement, or Doha agreement, Trump struck numerous bad deals and fateful bargains with the Taliban that would come back to haunt us.
It has been a year and a half since the last U.S. troops pulled out of Afghanistan, leaving the Taliban in charge. The U.S. Supreme Court extending the deadline on whether to keep the abortifacient mifepristone on the market. It will remain on the market at least least through tomorrow. Why the delay? Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
There's a division on the court, and they don't know exactly where they want to go with this case.
A federal judge in Texas had blocked production and distribution of the drug earlier this month. Mifepristone was approved 20 years ago by the FDA. Pro-lifers say it's dangerous. House Speaker McCarthy's unveiled a plan to raise the debt ceiling. That's the borrowing limit on Uncle Sam's proverbial credit card.
If Washington wants to spend more, it will have to find savings elsewhere, just like every single household in America.
McCarthy's plan recoups billions in unspent COVID cash. He also wants to roll back new IRS funding and do away with the president's student loan forgiveness program. The Oakland A's may be moving to Las Vegas. The pro baseball franchise has purchased land near the Vegas Strip and plans to build a new retractable roof stadium there. They hope to break ground next year on that stadium and possibly move to Vegas by 2027. Still to come on the Noon Report, gas station heroin, mascot ban react, and farm animal thievery.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. Temperatures are trending up these next couple of days, although the trend won't last through the weekend. I'll have forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, see you then. Thank you, Kevin. News where you live next. A Pennsylvania politician warns pills containing the same chemical makeup as fentanyl are available for you to purchase at convenience stores.
The reason it's legal in 40 out of the 50 states in the U.S. right now is because it's relatively new.
State Representative Andy Kuzma is sponsoring a bill that would ban the drug, which has been nicknamed gas station heroin.
Not only is gas station heroin almost impossible to get off of, it's also a gateway drug for fentanyl, opioids, heroin, cocaine. People in this state are overdosing from it, going into comas, having heart attacks, dying. It's a major issue.
Gas station heroin is marketed as a supplement to help control anxiety and depression. New York Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says it's unlikely that a budget deal will get done this week. The state spending plan is now 3 weeks late. The legislature must pass another budget extender today to keep the government from shutting down.
The legislature has one basic constitutional responsibility: to pass the budget. If the governor and the legislature, both led by Democrats, cannot come to an agreement, we've got a problem.
Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Pro-lifers are going after Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Family Life's Greg Gillespie tells us why.
Maria Gallagher with Pennsylvania's Pro-Life Federation says Governor Shapiro has launched a new website dedicated to all things abortion. That site includes an interactive map for locating an abortionist. There's information on how to access money to pay for abortions, too. The Shapiro administration claims the website is in response to a Texas ruling on the abortion pill mifepristone. 28 women have died after taking the drug. Experts say chemical abortions have four times the complication rate of surgical abortions. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
Thank you, Greg. Former Pennsylvania Congressman Bud Schuster has died. He was 91. Schuster served for nearly three decades in Congress from 1973 to 2001. He was instrumental in getting Interstate 99 in Blair and Center counties. Farmers are being told to keep an eye on their livestock in Western New York. That's because animal rights activists are looking for opportunities to steal cows and horses from local farms. Local lawmaker Sean Foti calls it vegan extremism.
I believe vegan extremism is when these folks with their ideology of being vegan or animal rights takes it to the next level of committing crimes and harassing our farmers.
Over the weekend, a Right to Rescue Summit was held in the city of Tonawanda. Cops say the same group that ran that meeting is now recruiting activists to steal farm animals. Now to that Native American school mascot ban, which has been made official in New York. Over 100 schools across the state will now need to change their nicknames and logos. John Cain's a member of the State Indigenous Mascot Advisory Council.
Our identity is being used predominantly by non-Native people.
for their amusement and entertainment. And oftentimes it's just terribly inaccurate.
Critics call the move by the state education department a solution in search of a problem. They argue if Indian mascots are removed, the history and knowledge of Native Americans will also be removed. The man who's serving as president of the Buffalo Teachers Union will be leaving that post after more than four decades on the job. Phil Remore will retire when his term ends June 30th. This Buffalo teacher says Remore will be missed.
It's almost hard to even fathom for most union members. I was six when he became union president. I'll be 48 in May. And it's really hard to imagine the union without him.
Remore's departure comes as news breaks of a new contract for Buffalo teachers. They've been working without one for the past 4 years. A state senator in Pennsylvania wants to ensure that college-bound students do not leave money on the table when it comes to paying for higher education. Scott Martin wants to make it a requirement that high school seniors in the Commonwealth complete the free application for federal student aid form, or FAFSA for short. That form is used to determine eligibility for financial assistance. Nine other states already require students fill out the form. There is an opt-out provision. A Niagara County, New York man will spend the next 7 years in prison for vandalizing his neighbor's fence with a racial slur. The judge calls it a hate crime. It happened just 2 days after the top supermarket massacre in Buffalo. 61-year-old Howard Murphy apologized in court yesterday, right before sentencing.
I am sorry I did what I did. I'm sorry for what I did on the fence. I didn't know this thing about Buffalo being a massacre. I thought it was a botched robbery.
This court finds it completely disingenuous that you would not know what that was. It was probably the most horrendous act that has occurred in Western New York.
10 people were killed in the racially motivated top shooting. The store will be closed for the one-year anniversary on May 14th. The man who helped bring the case of a Christian postal worker to the U.S. Supreme Court is confident of a favorable ruling for him in June. That man is Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
We are hopeful that this former postal carrier, who had a conviction to not work on Sundays, will be vindicated in the lawsuit that he brought. And I think there will be a good ruling that will provide some expansion and protection for religious liberty in the workplace.
The plaintiff in this case, Gerald Groff, had his case heard this week. He was disciplined for refusing to work on Sundays in Lancaster County, a ruling expected in June. You're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the New York Islanders are in a big hole in their series against Carolina. The Canes beat the Isles in overtime 4-3 on a Jesper Fast goal, and now are up 2-0 as that series moves to New York for Game 3 tomorrow night. Florida even their series against Boston with a 6-3 win. Dallas and Edmonton also knotted their series at one game apiece against Minnesota and Los Angeles, respectively. To the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks played without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they still beat up Miami 138-122. That series tied at one. Memphis also tied their series with the Lakers, beating them 103-93. Denver now has a 2-0 lead over the T-Wolves after their 122-113 victory. To baseball, in the Bronx, Aaron Judge put on a show for Yankees fans last night. He robbed Shohei Ohtani of a home run in the top of the first, and then he hit a two-run shot in the bottom of the inning, and that staked the Yanks to a 2-0 lead, which they ultimately ended up winning 3-2 on a Gleyber Torres walk-off sacrifice fly. Max Scherzer ejected for having rosin on his glove, but the Mets still beat the Dodgers 5-3 after Mark Canna doubled home two in the ninth. Trey Turner and Brandon Marsh both went deep. The Phils down the White Sox 5-2. Pirates have won their third in a row, pounding the Rockies 14-3. Rodolfo Castro had a home run and drove in four. Andrew McCutchen also went deep. Elsewhere in the American League, Cleveland, Texas, Minnesota, and Houston, your winners. In the NL, winners were the Giants, Cardinals, and Padres. And interleague action saw Tampa Bay, the Cubs, Brewers, and Orioles come out with wins. That is a look at sports.
Thank you very much, Randy Mann. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Thursday, SpaceX Starship, Biden whistleblower, and saving women's sports.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A recent survey conducted by the Wall Street Journal and the University of Chicago found that Americans are, in huge numbers, pulling back from values that had once defined them. Over the last 25 years, the percentage of Americans who describe patriotism as either important or very important fell from 70% to 38%. Those who valued religion fell from 62% to 39%, having children from 59% to 30%, and community involvement from 47% to 27%. In fact, only one value out of the 10 that were listed had an increase. That was money, from 31% to 43%. Bill McInturff is an expert involved with previous iterations of this survey. He told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Perhaps the toll of our political division, COVID, and the lowest economic confidence in decades is having a startling effect on our core values," end quote. Now, while economic affairs certainly affect what people consider to be important, this seems to me to be reversing the proverbial cart and horse. Corrupt societies can be prosperous, but only for a time. Eventually, low trust, rampant injustice, civic division, these things have consequences. Throughout history, economic crisis does not create a moral vacuum. It reveals it. Now, of course, if there's no moral design to reality or to humanity in particular, what people value would be inconsequential. In such a world, there's nothing to be pursued outside of individual expression, which should lead to happiness and human flourishing. Who cares if people don't value their communities, their countries, or things like tolerance? It's the inherent determination of individuals that matters, the pursuit of what they want the most that will inevitably guide them. We should only follow our own impulses, our own desires. History, of course, tells a different story. For example, a central genius of the American system is the built-in idea that people can and will go wrong if given the chance. Even the well-intentioned can be hypocrites, including America's founders, who nevertheless understood the pitfalls of both concentrated power and a virtue-less mob. Though various forms of godless philosophy reject the idea, our most fundamental beliefs about life and the world shape our behaviors. We do the things that are important to us, and we consider what's important based on what we think is true about life and the world. America's changing values, then, reflect a deeper change, one in how we think about reality itself, especially what we believe about meaning, about the purpose of life, about identity as human beings. What is life all about? Who am I? Why am I here? And America's changing values will then be further reflected in how we live, both as individuals and how we choose to order our lives together as a society. So any solution to our cultural crises, if it will help and not further harm, must first accurately diagnose the crises. To diagnose a crisis of values as being primarily determined by economic downturns is to confuse cause and effect. What America needs most is a revival. One that will rekindle belief in what's true and good, and ultimately in that which is bigger than ourselves. Now, Christians who are connected to the true vine should show a better way. Loving our neighbors, even when we're hated, and loving truth, even when it's denied. In a world starving for the right values, God is what gives life true value. The world is valuable because God created it, and because Christ died to save it. May God grant us all the courage to live like that's true. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Casey Leander. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, just go to ColsonCenter.org.
All right, thank you, John. Let's take it outside next. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, sunshine. It'll be warmer than it's been. Highs generally 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy, low temps 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow, some sunshine and warm, high temperatures near 80. Could be a later day shower, a thunder shower in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Then on Saturday, across western New York and western Pennsylvania, steadier rains developing with falling temperatures. farther east in central New York and eastern Pennsylvania, mostly cloudy, a couple of showers, and still on the warm side.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price, and there is a lot going on. This Thursday, the 20th of April, will begin in Washington, where the U.S. House will be voting today on what they're calling the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. It essentially bans transgender athletes from competing against females in sports. Florida Congressman Greg Stube says the GOP bill is not anti-trans, it's pro-women.
The Republicans aren't saying that children, male or female, can't compete in athletics, period. You can. But you have to compete in the gender and the biological gender that you are.
Stube thinks transgender athletes in girls' sports undermines Title IX, which was passed a half century ago to allow women more opportunities in athletics. Mixed results today for an historic space flight from the southern tip of Texas. The new Starship from SpaceX blasted off this morning, but then blew apart just 4 minutes after takeoff.
Starship just experienced what we call a rapid unscheduled disassembly, or a RUD, during ascent. But now this was a development test. This is the first test flight of Starship.
The biggest, most powerful rocket ever built was unmanned, and SpaceX had said it might take several tries before Starship succeeds at a test flight. The goal is to send people and cargo to the moon and eventually to Mars.
Vicki Barker reporting they call it Tornado Alley for a reason.
Massive tornado.
Complete chaos. Everything's, you know, just destroyed.
15 twisters touching down last night in three states, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa.
It looked like a bomb went off.
It was devastation.
Dennis and Michelle Newberg, in their words, say their home was wiped off the face of the map in Cole, Oklahoma. The tornado that plowed through the community with a population of about 600 decimated houses and property and claimed at least two lives. Another tornado touched down in Shawnee.
Oh, look at that.
That storm took aim at Oklahoma Baptist University, shredding walls of buildings and leaving a trail of debris on campus.
Janice Shamblian reporting it's a potential breakthrough in the Hunter Biden investigation. An IRS whistleblower says he has evidence the Biden administration interfered in the criminal probe into the president's son. That whistleblower is seeking protections so he can testify to Congress about the Biden family business dealings. As the president gets set to announce his 2024 reelection plans, a new Reuters poll shows his approval rating is below 40%. E.J. Antoni with the Heritage Foundation says the economy is the main reason why.
This president unleashed the worst inflation we've seen in 40 years. That is a tax that saps your purchasing power. The average family is about $7,100 poorer today than when Biden took office.
The president's currently in a tug of war with the House Speaker McCarthy over the debt ceiling negotiations. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on the stump in Spartanburg, South Carolina yesterday as speculation continues to mount over his future political plans. His speech focused on Florida's new parental rights in education law.
It is wrong to tell a second grader that they were born in the wrong body. It is wrong to teach kids they can change their gender. And in Florida, we've made sure that gender ideology has no place in our K-12 schools.
DeSantis has yet to say when he'll announce his 2024 presidential bid. The first GOP presidential debate is set for August in Milwaukee. A new Inspector General report makes startling claims about Afghanistan. The IG told Congress yesterday that your tax dollars may be going to prop up the Taliban.
The Taliban flag is flying over Kabul. And we have to remember who the Taliban is. They're not a country. The Taliban is not a government. They are a terrorist organization, the world's worst and atrocious and most evil terrorist organization, in my opinion.
Former Marine Chad Robichaud served several tours of duty in Afghanistan.
We sent $2 billion in U.S. aid and trusting a terrorist organization to do something good with it. Of course they're not going to do something good with it.
Robichaud accuses the State Department of stonewalling attempts to get to the bottom of how U.S. tax dollars are being used in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. The mayor of Seattle says he has the answer to the city's drug epidemic: gift cards.
That's right. He wants to reward addicts with gift cards if they agree to get treatment.
Why are we gamifying addiction? At the end of the day, it comes down to intervention.
John Cho's with the Discovery Institute in Seattle.
A lot of the supply is coming in from China. Then it's going to the cartels in Mexico, and our borders are porous. So we've got to cut off the supply. We've got to cut off the flow of drugs coming in, and we've got to save this generation right now with intentional intervention.
Cho thinks addicts will use those gift cards to buy more drugs. An average of 2 people a day are dying from drug overdoses right now in Seattle. New York City planning to track the household food purchases of its residents. Groceries bought by credit card will be monitored, all in the name of fighting climate change. City Councilman Joe Borelli.
I don't understand who made, you know, the vegetarians of the world and giving them the authority to decide what everyone eats. I don't think the government should be telling people what they should put on their kitchen table. It's nanny statism at its worst.
The Eric Adams administration announced the plan to begin tracking the carbon footprint created by household food consumption. Next at noon, we're taking a closer look at the ongoing debate over the abortifacient mifepristone. It's been in the news a lot lately. The U.S. Supreme Court expected to rule tomorrow on whether to pull the plug on that drug or allow its continued use. Family Life's Abigail Hofflin explores more the controversy surrounding this pill, which has been in use for more than 20 years to end pregnancies in America.
The FDA's approval for mifepristone came as clinical trials showed a low rate of complications. More than 5 million U.S. women have used the drug since its approval back in 2000. But the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine is challenging claims that the drug is safe, especially since the FDA has lessened restrictions on mifepristone in recent years. Perhaps the most notable change was a COVID provision that allowed abortion pills to be ordered online and sent by mail.
They argued that because of the pandemic, women shouldn't have to go to the abortion center to pick up the pills and that they should be allowed to just order them and get them through the mail.
That's Tessa Longbons of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, where researchers have discovered that risks associated with chemical abortion are alarmingly high.
We found that chemical abortions had a much higher rate of emergency room visits than do surgical abortions. And in fact, that rate had been increasing. It increased over 500%. During the study, which was 2002 to 2015. And we also saw that a lot of those emergency room visits were being miscoded as miscarriages. And we dug into that a little bit, and we found that women whose abortions were miscoded were more likely to need multiple hospital admissions, were more likely to need follow-up surgery to complete the abortion. And so this was really appearing to impact the type of care that they were receiving.
Even in cases where the drug works as advertised, women often deal with mifepristone's physical and emotional side effects, which can be severe.
It is painful. It lasts multiple days, and it involves a lot of cramping and bleeding. Many women are surprised by the pain and bleeding that they experience, and they do wish that they had known ahead of time what the process was going to be like.
It used to be that all complications involving mifepristone were required to be reported. In 2016, the FDA lessened their requirements so that hospitals need only report deaths.
But even before then, we know that the FDA was missing at least half of all complications. Some estimates suggest that they were missing 95% of all complications in the official data.
For her part, New York Governor Kathy Hochul has promised to enshrine abortion access in the Empire State.
We will dedicate up to $20 million more for reproductive health care providers beyond our current $35 million to support methods of access to other forms of care, including procedures.
This comes in addition to her budget proposal that includes Medicaid reimbursement for abortion, more funding for abortion providers, and expansion of abortion access on college campuses. Without ever using the word woman, she implies it's a woman's rights issue.
We are forced to confront a painful reality, that the fundamental rights that my grandmother's generation had to fight for were stripped away with one decision.
But some of New York's feminists disagree. Here's Emily Capello with Feminists Choosing Life of New York.
I mean, if we're talking about women's rights, you kind of have to go back to the first feminists and the fact that they were actually pro-life. And feminism initially was never intended to be built on this foundation of crushing of the weak. This excessive access to abortion that the third and fourth wave feminists are fighting for today is really, it's a far cry from women's empowerment.
Capello says the lack of reporting is made worse by the absence of medical appointments on the front end of prescriptive decisions.
You need an ultrasound. It's the most sure way to determine how far along your pregnancy is and if it's ectopic.
Tessa Longbond says it's reasons like these that a recent Fifth Circuit ruling was so important.
What the Fifth Circuit did was essentially bump things back to how things were before the FDA made some changes to the regulations in 2016. So that involves requiring that only physicians can dispense the abortion pill, requiring that there be follow-up visits, making sure that all complications are reported, and saying that the pills have to be dispensed in person. And the Fifth Circuit said, we're going to go back to how things were.
In response to the legal tug of war that has been playing out in the lower courts, the Supreme Court temporarily blocked the Fifth Circuit's decision. That stay was set to expire yesterday, but has now been extended to this Friday, April 21st. Until then, at least, the abortion pill will remain accessible as it has been. You've been listening to Faith Under Fire. Reporting for Family Life, I'm Abigail Hoffland.
All right, thank you very much, Abigail, and you're tuned in to the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on Family Life.
A very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure nosing in from southeastern Canada, producing a dry, pleasant afternoon on balance across the area, with temperatures trending up over the next couple of days. The arrival, though, of a potent front over this weekend spells showers, rumbles, and eventually much cooler air. Our call for this afternoon, we'll have some sunshine. It'll be warmer than it's been, but not everywhere. It'll be warmer in Pennsylvania, highs generally 70s to near 80. It'll be milder in New York State, highs mostly 60s, although holding in the 50s close to Lake Ontario. For tonight, partly cloudy, low temps 40s to mid 50s. Tomorrow, some sunshine and warm, high temperatures near 80. Could be a later day shower, a thunder shower in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Then on Saturday, across western New York and western Pennsylvania, steady rains developing with falling temperatures. Farther east in central New York and eastern Pennsylvania, mostly cloudy, couple of showers and still on the warm side.
All right, Kevin, great work as always at the Weather Center. Finally, noon, feeling stressed out today? Well, you may want to turn to fish for help.
Let us all say the pledge. Fish are friends, not food.
It's called aquarium therapy.
The new study says just watching fish do their thing for as little as 10 minutes can reduce your heart rate and stress level by 3%. The National Marine Aquarium says their team found fish viewing also improves your mood and helps you sleep better. The longer you watch, the better you feel. Have an aquarium at the office? It boosts morale and productivity, also redirects negative feelings. The National Pet Owners Survey says there are about 13 million aquariums in American homes. They're the third most popular pet after dogs and cats.
All right. Thank you very much, Bree Tennis, for that report. And just like that, our time is up. That's our world for Thursday, April the 20th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.